Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. J.P. Morgan, The Life and Deals of America's Banker by J.R. McGregor presents a business-focused biography of the financier whose name became synonymous with American capitalism at the turn of the 20th century. Rather than treating Morgan as a distant monument, the book frames him as a dealmaker, an institutional builder operating in a volatile era of railroad booms, industrial consolidation, and recurring financial panics. Readers are introduced to the networks that mattered, New York and London capital, the emerging power of corporate law, and the relationships among bankers, industrialists, and government leaders. McGregor emphasizes how Morgan shaped the practices that later defined modern finance, from underwriting and syndicates to corporate governance and crisis intervention. The result is an accessible narrative that links major transactions and public controversies to a broader transformation of the American economy. For anyone curious about how Wall Street gained its coordinating role, this book offers a guided tour through the strategies, risks, and consequences of Morgan's most consequential moves. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, building a banker, networks, reputation, and the Morgan method. A central topic is how Morgan became powerful in a system that still lacked many of today's formal guardrails. The book highlights the importance of reputation, relationships, and discipline process in an era when credit and trust could evaporate overnight. Morgan's influence grew through cross-Atlantic connections, careful selection of partners, and an insistence on credible information before committing capital. This approach is often described as a method: assemble the right syndicate, control the terms, and align incentives so that investors and operators share a common goal. The narrative shows how personal authority could substitute for regulation, with Morgan acting as both gatekeeper and stabilizer for major issuers. The book also underscores the cultural factors behind his standing, including the social world of elite finance and the ways prestige helped secure cooperation during uncertain moments. Readers gain a practical sense of why elite networks mattered, how underwriting worked as relationship management, and how a single individual could coordinate vast pools of money when markets were fragmented. This topic provides the foundation for understanding later episodes in which Morgan's presence alone changed outcomes for companies, investors, and even the broader financial system. Secondly, railroads, reorganization, and the rise of modern corporate finance. The railroads are presented as the proving ground where Morgan refined the tools of modern corporate finance. The book explains how overbuilding, debt, and rate wars pushed many lines toward distress, creating opportunities for restructuring rather than simple liquidation. Morgan's role is framed as reorganizer and disciplinarian, impose order on chaotic competition, renegotiate obligations, and install management capable of meeting investor expectations. This involved complex coordination among bondholders, shareholders, and competing firms, and it demanded both financial creativity and political tact. The analysis connects railroad reorganizations to broader innovations, such as clearer capital structures, more rigorous reporting, and governance mechanisms designed to reduce destructive rivalry. The theme is not just that railroads made fortunes, but that they forced financiers to professionalize how large enterprises were financed and supervised. The book also draws attention to the tension between stabilization and control, since measures that reduce volatility could also concentrate power in fewer hands. By following the logic of reorganization, readers see how the problems of the 19th century shaped the institutional habits of the 20th, including the expectation that sophisticated intermediaries would step in to restructure distressed giants rather than let them collapse uncontrollably. Thirdly, industrial consolidation and the architecture of big business. Another key topic is Morgan's involvement in the consolidation wave that produced dominant national corporations. The book describes the rationale behind combining firms, reduce cutthroat competition, secure stable pricing, gain access to capital, and scale operations in an expanding economy. This is presented as financial engineering with real economic consequences, requiring valuation judgment, negotiation across rival owners, and a story compelling enough to attract investors. The narrative examines how a banker could function as architect, bringing together fragmented industries and creating structures that markets could finance. It also explores why consolidation became controversial, feeding debates about monopoly power, fairness, and the relationship between private finance and public welfare. The book positions Morgan's deals as catalysts for the corporate model that later defined American industry, where ownership is widely held, but control is centralized through boards, voting power, and financing terms. Readers come away with a clearer understanding of how mergers were assembled in practice, how underwriting and distribution helped new corporate entities raise funds, and why the era generated both extraordinary productivity and intense political backlash. The topic helps connect dealmaking to long-term institutional change, the emergence of manager-led corporations and a financial system capable of funding massive enterprises. Fourthly, crisis leadership, panics, liquidity, and the banker as central coordinator. The book devotes substantial attention to financial crises and Morgan's role as an emergency coordinator before the United States had a modern central bank. It explains how panics were fueled by confidence shocks, sudden withdrawals, and a shortage of liquid funds, especially when trust between institutions broke down. Morgan's response is portrayed as pragmatic crisis management, gather key decision makers, assess who is solvent, and mobilize private capital to stop contagious failure. The narrative shows how these rescues depended on speed, authority, and the ability to force cooperation among competitors for the sake of system stability. This topic also confronts the ambiguity of private bailouts. They can prevent broader collapse, but they concentrate decision-making in the hands of unelected actors and can create perceptions of favoritism. By examining crisis episodes, the book illustrates the mechanics of liquidity support, the importance of credible collateral, and the communication strategies required to restore confidence. It also links Morgan-era emergencies to the eventual push for institutional reform, helping readers see how repeated instability made the case for a lender of last resort and more formal oversight. The result is a clearer picture of why crisis management became a defining feature of modern finance. Lastly, public scrutiny, reform, and the legacy of a financial titan. A final topic is the public reaction to Morgan's influence and how scrutiny shaped the evolution of the American banking system. The book explores the tension between efficiency and democracy. Morgan's coordination could stabilize markets and accelerate industrial growth, yet it raised fears about concentrated power, conflicts of interest, and the ability of a small circle to set terms for the wider economy. This theme is developed through the lens of politics and regulation, where reforms emerge not only from ideology, but from repeated confrontations with instability and perceived overreach. The analysis shows how Morgan became a symbol in debates about Wall Street, and how that symbolism fed demands for transparency, competition, and institutional checks. The book also addresses legacy in a practical sense, tracing how methods associated with Morgan, such as syndication, rigorous due diligence, and governance expectations, persisted even as the regulatory environment changed. Readers are encouraged to separate caricature from impact, recognizing both the benefits of organized capital and the dangers of private control over public outcomes. This balanced view helps modern readers interpret current debates about too big to fail, market power, and the role of financial intermediaries, using Morgan's era as a case study in how finance and society negotiate boundaries. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy business biographies, financial history, and deal-driven storytelling, including entrepreneurs, investors, MBA students, and general readers trying to understand why modern Wall Street works the way it does. It benefits the reader's life by turning abstract concepts such as underwriting, restructuring, consolidation, and liquidity support into concrete decisions made under pressure. That perspective can sharpen how you evaluate risk, incentives, governance, and the difference between short-term market moves and long-term institutional change. The book is also useful for anyone interested in leadership because it shows how authority is built through credibility, preparation, and the ability to coordinate competing stakeholders during crises. Compared with similar biographies that focus mainly on personality or scandal, this title emphasizes the mechanics and consequences of major transactions, helping readers connect Morgan's actions to the development of the American banking system and the rise of large-scale corporations. If you want a single, accessible narrative that links dramatic panics and headline-making deals to the underlying tools of finance, it offers strong value. It is worth buying as a practical guide to how power, capital, and institutions evolve together in the United States. If you would like to support J.R. McGregor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.